Hi, I'm Lisa Levin.
And I'm Julie Sapper.
We're the co-founders of Run Farther and Faster and co-hosts of the podcast under the same name.
Well, we started this podcast as a Boston Marathon-focused podcast based on the experiences from our combined 31 finishes. We cover all things running-related.
We've coached runners of all levels and goal distances all over the world for over 13 years.
Thanks so much for joining us. We are so excited you're here.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Lisa, do you miss me?
I do. I always do. This always happens after Boston. We get to spend 3 days together straight, and then we go home and we meet over Zoom, which makes me sad. We had such a good weekend.
It was the best. Oh my gosh. We had so much fun together and with so many of the people we got to connect with over the weekend. It was really awesome. So we are going to spend this episode recapping our Boston weekend, not just for all of our listeners, but selfishly also for ourselves, because it allows us to seal it into our memories. So we hope all of you listening will enjoy. We promise it's Boston focused, but we have a lot of funny stories. So let's just get right to it. We'll start with Friday. We arrived together on the same flight for the first time, I think, ever. We flew together.
I feel like we maybe flew the same flight one time. I don't know. Yeah, we're not usually on the same flights. And we went up Friday this year, which is something we have not. So I have done the last few years, but you, for various reasons, had things going on and weren't able to come up till Saturday. So, and I think I mentioned to you a couple of years ago, it's really nice to go up on Friday. So this is the first time we've gone up on Friday, and we went up relatively early. Our flight left like 12, we were a little bit delayed, but our flight left around 12:30. And amazingly, we didn't see anybody we knew on the flight here or there, which is always surprising because usually we see people that we know, but maybe because it was Friday. So so we flew up on Friday, which tends to be pro tip for people considering going to Boston in the future. Friday, if you can make it up on Friday, is definitely quieter on Friday around the city and also particularly at the expo.
For sure. So we got to our hotel, checked in without issue, and we then went to the expo. And Lisa, you picked up your race bib, and
so before we do that, we went to pick up our media credentials.
Oh, that's right, we did that first. Yes,
so we dropped our stuff up at the hotel, and we went to the Fairmont Copley Hotel, which is where the BAA kind of has its headquarters, and the media room is located there. Elites stay there. So we went over there to go pick up our press passes. So that was fun to do that. And you hadn't seen that before, because typically I get on Friday, I go pick up both of our badges. And you hadn't seen that yet.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. For purposes of the Boston Marathon weekend, we are temporarily members of the news media, but we are not members of the news media in real life. And we do not pretend to be. We know we are not journalists. We are podcasters, but it's so nice that the BAA extends those media privileges to us. We really appreciate it. So we had our passes, and then we went to the expo. And I have to admit, it was a little weird. Even last year when I went to the expo with you, I did pick up my shirt, my bib. I wasn't running last year due to my injury, but this is the first time I've ever been to bib pickup where I actually haven't picked up a bib myself. It was a little weird. But I was really happy to go with you, Lisa. And from there, we went to the expo. And we've talked about this before. Of course, we've had Lauren Prochan on and Katie Hawks, who talked about this too. The expo is a lot different than it used to be. The expo used to be this huge event with every vendor imaginable. And now the expo is basically Adidas and Friends. And the Friends are like backup singers or dancers to Adidas.
It's sponsor activation. So yeah. Each of the large sponsors gets to have an activation. So Sam Adams, Adidas,
Morton.
Morton. So all of that, they have very large kind of areas that are typically interactive. So, for whatever type.
Yeah. But so like how it looks, it's so much Adidas heavy. Like you walk in, it's like, whoa, Adidas.
And right. There are all the place where you can buy all of the, right. That's the first thing you see when you walk in is the huge, which does take up about half of the expo space, is Adidas. So, and it's like a whole store that's set up with men's section, women's section. And if you want to get something in your size and maybe something that's more like not rare, but like, you know, something you might want to spike unicorn or something like that, Friday is a great day to get that. And it was plenty crowded in there, but not anything even close to remotely what it looks like on Saturday there. So we took a quick spin around the Adidas apparel and checked out the different clothing. We didn't buy anything, as we've all also learned over the years that if there's anything we really want that badly, you can order it online after. And there was nothing I needed immediately. It had some, you know, some fun stuff. The colors this year are a little bit different than in the past, where they've been kind of bright blue, like a royal blue and a bright yellow. This year they were kind of subdued, like the actual shirts, the race shirts are a light, like a baby or powder blue. So it's a little bit different color scheme.
I'm going to go out of order. I forgot to tell you this, but when I was getting coffee on race morning, I ran into someone who had flown in from Adidas corporate who was getting ready to go. I'm sorry, it was not race morning, it was Sunday morning. Someone who had flown in from Adidas corporate to work all of the Adidas activations at the expo. And I asked her, I said, "So what do you personally think of the colors and the scheme?" And she said, "Well, at first I didn't love it. But now when I think about it, I like it because they're more wearable colors." She said they're muted, which is the word you used, and therefore they're more wearable. I don't like the color salmon. I wasn't into it, but whatever. It's fine. It's, you know, every year there's a different color. It's better than the safety orange that was, it was so bad one year. So anyway, yeah, expo. So let's talk about that. We ran into Russ Hoyt. Russ, of course, was on our podcast last year. He is the brother of Rick Hoyt and the son of Dick Hoyt. And we gave him a huge hug because, of course, he and his brother Rick were on our podcast just weeks before Rick passed away. And seeing Russ and being able to say to him what an impact he's had on our lives and our kids' lives and his books that he had at his expo booth, it was really meaningful for you and me and to talk with him. And we definitely want to have Russ back on the podcast. They're still doing the race again this year that they did last year. There is a virtual component to the race so everyone can participate and fundraise for the Hoyt Foundation. And that's in May. We can link to it in our show notes. So yeah, that was a real treat.
Yeah. And right before we did that, we were over. So in the expo, there is a wall that has everybody's, or like kind of a wall, whatever, a display that has everyone's names on it. So the fun thing to do every year is to kind of go through all of the names alphabetically and find your name and point to it and get a picture. And we were doing that and you were getting ready to take a picture of me. And there was a reporter right next to a camera and reporter right next to us. And we ended up getting on the news, which was kind of fun. So interviewed, and I think we posted the link to the interview on our social media. But that was kind of a fun, that's never happened in all the years. In all the years that we've been to the expo, all the years I've been to Boston, I've never been interviewed by the media.
And that was really funny too, because remember the reporter who was interviewing us, we name dropped Tevin Wooten, who we had interviewed on our podcast last week. And he said, "Oh, I'm best friends with Tevin." And we just thought that was so funny because they were at different.
Right. That was Brandon Truitt. Who's from WBZ TV. It's a CBS affiliate in Boston. So, and of course, Tevin's with an NBC affiliate. So we weren't sure if they know each other, but right. We said, "Hey, we just interviewed probably one of your colleagues on our podcast." And he sent a selfie to Tevin, which was really fun. So it was really great to talk to Brandon. And then I was in the room. I must've been later that night, I guess. Yeah. Later that night I was in the room and I had the news on, and it came up, which was really funny to see. I was like, "Hey, that's me." So that was sort of fun. That was a funny, just a funny story from the expo. So we didn't spend, well, let's go back. We did, then we, so once we left kind of that area, so half of the expo hall was really for these activations, or really about three-fourths of it were for kind of activations for sponsors. But then about a fourth of the expo area is now dedicated to outside, like to other vendors. But from what we could gather, it can't be any products that compete with like apparel or shoes. So there were no apparel or shoes, which leads to a very interesting type of selection of vendors that do come. And Julie, why don't you talk about a very large area of that vendor space and that you got pulled into and had your hair did for your 5K the next day?
I don't even know. It was so random. Anyone who's at the expo knows what I'm talking about. You walked from Adidas and Morton to suddenly hair tools, like literally just rows and rows of people selling hair straighteners and special brushes. And just like in a shopping mall, some woman pulled me in and suddenly I found myself in a chair as she's curling my hair. And it was, there were so many women.
And it was so, it was like a whole set. It was a whole like studio set. It was like a salon setup with probably, I would say 50 little booths where they were just pulling women in to say, here, let me do your hair and show you how this really cool curling iron works. But I guess the curling iron doesn't compete with apparel or shoes. So,
it was so weird.
Don't worry about, any conflict there. So that was, and I heard a lot of people asking them, why are you here for hair? You know, why? And you asked the woman, like, how do you, you know, like, what is the connection here? And I think she said something like, well, runners are busy and don't have a lot of time to do their hair. So you want to be able to just grab a styling, you know, tool and just like get your hair done. So we sat there and chatted with her while you had your hair. Looked very nice, actually. You look very pretty.
Well, thank you so much. I wanted to look pretty for my 5K the next day when I sweat 12 hours later. It was bizarre. Also bizarre, just noting, I don't know if anyone else notices that at the expo, but in addition to the hair tool vendors, there were many other sort of recovery tools and other types of gadgets. And a lot of the vendors were vaping. And I just found that to be so bizarre.
I didn't see that. You saw that. I didn't see that. But that is odd that vaping in a marathon expo.
Yes. It was like WTF. So anyway, it was better than last year, the expo. It was still a lot of fun. Something we both have a lot of fun just connecting with people there and talking to other people. And we also had an opportunity to view the live stage, which we really wanted to do well before our live stage event on Sunday. So that was good. We were a little concerned when we initially saw it because there was like a big cement pole in the middle of the audience, but it really wasn't a big deal once we were there and we actually were on the stage. I didn't even notice it. So we were like, whoa, there's a pole, but it was so not a big deal. And it just kind of gave us an idea of what it was going to look like this year as opposed to last year. And so that, I think, brought us a little bit of comfort because, you know, it's a little bit nerve-wracking to do the live show and we wanted to be prepared. So we previewed that. And then we went from the expo to an amazing...
We didn't spend too much time at the expo, no. Which is what we tell. And there's really not a need to spend a ton of time at the expo. So we did not, we were there probably no longer than an hour, I would say, right? Like we probably got there at 5. I remember we were trying to get a quick dinner before we left for the live show. But so we went right in the Prudential Center and we went to Sweet Green for dinner, which was an easy and very easy to get some good carbs dinner. I had a quinoa bowl with some sweet potatoes and other things in it. So we did that. That was super easy. So anyone who's going, the expo is in the Prudential Center and you can just walk right. The Heinz Convention Center is connected to the Prudential Center. You can walk right into the Prudential Center. There's an Eataly, Sweet Green, Shake Shack, if that's what you like to have, you know, so a lot of different options. It was quick and easy for us to grab. So we did that. And then we grabbed an Uber to head. You can talk about our next adventure.
Oh yeah, it was so awesome. So I happened to be online one day and I saw that Des and Kara were selling tickets to their live show at WBUR Studios near Boston University. And I happened to snag two for you and me. And wow, was that incredible. So we got to attend a live recording of Des and Kara's podcast, Nobody Asked Us. And what they did, first of all, the audio is now out. So it's their episode's been released. So go back and listen to anyone listening. Cause if you're listening to this, you are interested in the Boston Marathon. And that episode that they recorded was very Boston Marathon focused because they focused on each of them focused on their Boston Marathon experiences. And parts of it were really raw. I thought they both just did a phenomenal job. You could tell that it wasn't scripted at all. And that the way that it was presented, they had this beautiful screen. It was huge. So it was very, almost 3D. So when they're running down Boylston and they're talking about it, you really felt like you were in the moment. So I thought that the audio and the technical elements of this podcast recording were top notch. And the theater was relatively small. So I really felt like we were attending something really special. I know we both were just really enjoying all of it. I think partially too, because Lisa, all of the races that they mentioned, we were there. We were running those races too, because you and I collectively have run Boston. Now you've run it 21 times. I've of course run it 12 times. That's 33 times. And we were there during all the years that they talked about. And for example, Des mentioned her first Boston was in 2007. And that was my first Boston. And that was Nor'easter. And, you know, it was really neat to relate to them as amateur runners and how they felt, which was similar to how we felt in many instances, especially when Des recounted her 2018 experience. I also really appreciated that Kara talked about her race in, oh gosh, the year, I can't remember the year right now, please forgive me, but it was heartbreaking for her because she almost won and then she didn't. And she has never watched the footage. And she decided to take matters into her own hands on Friday night and actually watch the footage for the first time with a live audience and talk about it. And I thought that was really beautiful. And she was really raw and talked about that. And then of course she talked about her project, which is Destroy Cult. And she talked about the training for that and what it's like to set a goal that is not a marathon, such as a 5K, as a non-professional runner. She's now a very, very fast amateur runner, of course, and has gone through a lot of health issues and is out there running, trying to beat her son's 1850 record. And she talked about that. And I related to that in the sense that it's great to have a goal. It's always great to have a goal. And even that goal is a goal that back in the day would not be an A goal for you. And now it is. Who cares? It's fun to train for something and set a high bar. And that's what she did. And it was really fun. What did you think of the whole thing?
So I wanted to go back. 2008 was the year that that she came in third, that we
thank you
to kind of relive that experience with her. But yeah, I really just, first of all, Des is hilarious. Like, she's so funny. They're both amazing and they both play off each other so well, but Des is funny. And like you said, just hearing her recount races that we were at and having the same feelings that we did, even though she was obviously much faster than us. That was really, I was wrapped by the entire, like, you know, just really into everything they had to say. And I watched some replays of it and I still enjoy hearing it again. And what I thought was really nice too, was just being in a room with all these runners, like we're all in the same community. And it was nice. We had an opportunity to, you know, to talk to people. We sat next to a really sweet woman, Lizzie from Seattle. Wanted to give her a shout out. I know she went and added our podcast to her listening list. So Lizzie, if you're listening, we hope you had a great race. And it was really fun to sit next to her. It was her first Boston. So it's always fun to meet people that are there for the first time. And kind of remembering our first Bostons and all of the kind of awe and excitement that comes with that. So that was really fun just to be in that room, like you said, with them, but also with all these runners that you feel like you're all like, you get each other and you like, you know, it's just like such and everyone's so nice. Like what I love about the Boston weekend is that everybody is so nice. Like everyone is so friendly. Everyone wants to talk to you. Everyone wants to find out where you're from. What's your story? It's just such a nice, it's such a great vibe. And that was all in that room, which I really enjoyed.
Well said. And so that was our day on Friday. We were exhausted and we
nonstop.
And we knew we needed to pace ourselves because of course you were running a race on Monday. I wasn't, but I wanted to make sure you were not exhausted. So we went to bed pretty quickly.
Well, you had a race the next day. On Saturday. So.
A little different 5K versus the marathon.
And we should say too, you got your 5K runners get their bibs in the mail. Just so that's why we talked about going to the expo and not getting, and that's something I didn't know when my daughter ran last year. I thought we had to get there Friday to be at the expo to get her bib, and then it came in the mail. So we could have been there after, you know, the expo closed. So anybody who's running the 5K, a couple of things about the 5K, if you're thinking of running the 5K, register immediately. It sells out very fast, and you have to have a BAA like athlete account on the BAA website. There's it's a runner, I forget what it's called, but like the runner portal, you have to have an account set up, and it sells out pretty fast. So they mail the bib to you, so you don't have to go to the expo. I mean, you can. It looked like they did have 5K bib pickup for maybe people who didn't get them in the mail or needed to get a replacement bib, but they come in the mail.
Yeah. I mean, another option with the 5K is you can register and also fundraise for Special Olympics. So I was able to register in time, but I still decided to fundraise. It's $500 for Special Olympics because it's always good to attach some meeting to a race. And I just wanted to give back to Boston. So yeah. So I ran the 5K the next day and it was such an afterthought, but it ended up being such a fun part of my weekend. And I really didn't expect that. It was really cute because Lisa, you were so excited and I appreciate that so much. And it was so nice of you to, you said, you're like, I'm going to come with you. And I wouldn't let you because I really, really wanted you to sleep in and get as much sleep as you could. And I appreciate that you listened to me. Thanks for listening to your coach. And you slept in a little bit, I think. And then you went to, I think I saw you right after mile one. And then I saw you again, like at 1.5. I think that's where I saw you. So amazing work. I saw you in 2 places and that was just so lovely. And I so appreciate your support always. It was really neat. I don't think that's ever happened before because we always run races together. So I was really special. I don't think I've ever been in a situation where you've spectated me. So it was really sweet.
I think you're right. Talk to me a little because we talked about this afterwards. I want to share it with our listeners. Talk a little bit about the logistics of the 5K, the start time, the start waves, like it's, you know, it's 10,000 runners. So it's big. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So the 5K started at 8, but the instructions said that if you're in wave one and there's 2 waves, wave one and wave two, it's pretty simple and it's self-seated. So I wanted to be in wave one because I was one of the relatively faster runners, and in wave one, so it's 5,000 people in each wave. I got to the Boston Common by 7. And I warmed up on my way there from our hotel, just did an easy jog, ran around the park a little bit, and I probably got about a mile in. And then I went to check my bag, and right there waiting for me at this humongous race was one of our runners, Karen Ryan, who decided to volunteer with her lovely daughter, Isabel. And this is Karen's 10th consecutive Boston. She just wanted to take everything in. I thought it was so sweet that she volunteered. And as I was checking my bag with Karen, it was such a simple process. It's not at all confusing, so easy. She told me that she had just moments ago checked Kara Gelcher's bag. So I thought that was really cool because Kara generally has never checked a bag in a race. That wouldn't be something Kara Gelcher would normally do. So the fact that Karen got to check her bag, I thought was so special. So I got to my corral. I was a very good student and did exactly what I was told. And I got in my corral at 7:30, which, I just stood there for a half hour. And it was actually more than that because the wheelchair races and the introduction of the pros and everything, it just took a lot longer. So I don't think the race actually started for me until 8:10. So I was in my corral for about 40 minutes. So if I were to do it again, I probably would have waited to get into my corral and squeezed in a little bit and been uncomfortable for a little less time than to have more room and stand there for 40 minutes. But the benefit is while I was in my corral, I looked to my left and there are all the pros warming up, including Dakota Lindworm, who, of course, is one of the Olympic marathon, who's going to the Olympics for the marathon. And wow, watching these women warm up. I mean, I can't explain it. They're flying and it's just their warm up. So it was really cool to see that. And all of us were looking and seeing who was running and it was really cool. And that was just a highlight. So when the race started, just like Cherry Blossom last week, as I mentioned on this podcast, it was crowded and there were potholes. So I was really careful to watch my footing. My goal in the race was to get under 23 minutes because my last couple of 5Ks that I've done since ACL surgery have been in that 23:30 range. And I knew I could get under 23. And so that's what I did. I felt comfortable. I wasn't going super hard because it was a very crowded field, but I finished in like 22 something, 20. I don't know what, I don't know. I have to look it up. Well, thank you. 22:50. And so that pace, was faster than my 10 miler pace and faster than my 5K paces have been since surgery. So I was really happy with that and felt like really grateful to have the opportunity to do this race. The course is, most of it is part of the Boston Marathon. So I thought that I would feel emotional at mile 2.5 when I ran right through the finish line and continued on to the Common. But I'm happy to say I wasn't. And as my dear friend Rebecca mentioned to me a couple of weeks ago, she said, Julie, I'm really proud of you for rewiring your brain. And what she meant by that is I've been really adept at accepting where I am right now and not thinking about, oh, I should be doing this. I deserve this. I'm not thinking that way. I'm thinking, and this is 100% how I am. This is where I am. And I'm so grateful that I got to do this. And so that is exactly what happened on Saturday. I love seeing you at two spots on the course. I appreciated your cheers. And I loved running with all of the people like me who are probably there supporting other runners, because no one should have been running as fast as I was running if they were running the marathon on Monday. So after the race, you and I...
I just want to mention to you, for spectators that are going down for it, it's a very easy race to spectate. It goes primarily up and down Commonwealth, which, and in the middle of the two sides sort of is the long, like, kind of stretch of Commonwealth where there's like a park in the, like, a, you know, green space in the middle that has a path that goes through it. So I just got myself to that part of Commonwealth. So I could just see you. I parked myself right at mile one on runner's left, right? Yeah, on runner's left. And then just could walk on the other side of the kind of Commonwealth and see you come around the other side before you took a right on Hereford, left on Boylston. So it's very easy. And then really, I could have run, if I ran really fast, I could have run straight back down and kind of gotten back to where the finish was. But I had been at the finish last year, and it's much harder to see people, especially once they go through the finish line. It's very hard to get to them after. So I think going out on Commonwealth and going on a couple sides, you know, kind of, you can catch people a couple times there is a really good place to watch. Boylston, you could certainly go to Boylston because you take the right on Hereford, left on Boylston, like you said, go under the finish line, but it's a very, very easy race to spectate. So anyone who is going and wants to spectate, really easy to do. You're right. It did take a little while for you to get there because I first became through the, I think it was the pros came first, the pro men, the pro women. Oh no, I'm sorry. The hand cycles came first, the wheels came through first.
Wheelchair. Yeah.
Yeah. Wheelchair and like hand cycle. Yeah. They came through first. And then it was the men pro, men, it was the women pro. Then it was the like the para athletes. Like it was like the guided athletes. And there was like a whole other, you know, field that came through. And then you could tell that it was the start of the kind of regular, you know, the first wave. So it did take, so anyone who's trying to plan for timing, like you did not come through that first mile until probably, you know, 8:15, 8:17, something like, like you said, you probably,
which makes sense. I was like in that corral for longer than a half hour for sure. But I mean, I looked at my splits, I was pretty even. I was 7:18 the whole time. And that's a big improvement for me from where I was at this time last year, of course, when I had just started easy running, and an improvement even from a couple months ago. So I'm getting there.
And I love that you said in your head, you told me, you said, I want to try to go under 23. And then I was tracking on the app after I saw you go by the second time and it said 22:50. I'm like, damn, she wasn't exactly like set it in your mind and you can achieve it. So that was really, really cool to see. So yeah. So after that, we went back to the hotel so you could get some downtime. I ended up taking an Uber to the Trek store that was in Cambridge because my son is a cyclist and he loves, he's a mechanic also, and he works in a Trek dealer here. And he loves whenever he goes places seeing if there's a Trek store and they have shirts that you can get that say that they're employee shirts, but you can, if you ask them, you can get them that say Trek from in the city that it's in. So this one said Cambridge, Massachusetts, had a little shape of Massachusetts on it. Like I know the ones from Baltimore, Maryland have a little pink crab on them. So it's cute. So I made that my little project for the morning. I went out to the Trek store, super nice people out in Cambridge, while you rested. And then we met back at the hotel and then we ended up, you went out and then we ended up meeting up for lunch at Cava.
Yeah. And you can see a pattern. I think it's important to note, even though there's so many fabulous options in Boston for marathon weekend, we both find that it's before the race, bowls are the way to go. Whether it's a bowl at Chipotle, a bowl at Cava, a bowl at Sweet Green, there's so many bowl places in Boston. And frankly, it just allows you to pick exactly what you want, the ratio of protein with your carbs, you know what's in there. So that's why I went to Cava. And then we also went to Sweet Green the night before. It was a good option. And then from there, we wanted to meet up with Sheree Turner, our co-host for our live show. We have been meeting with Sheree on Zoom. She lives in Ireland right now, but we hadn't met her in person since Boston last year. And we wanted to get together with her and have the opportunity to just kind of review everything and be super prepared for our live show on Sunday. And in doing so, where we were sitting, we happened to see a lot of people where we were, and it was really crazy. So we're just gonna like tell you in no particular order, as we were meeting, who we ran into. Why don't you start with a few, Lisa? This is all
the first person we saw. Well, first I want to back up. We did finish line pictures after Cava.
Oh, yeah.
We did get our finish that. So we always have to get our prom picture at Boston, and the weather was nice. And so we did go get our finish line pictures. And then, we went over to go meet Cherie. And as we're kind of hanging out there, the first person I remember seeing is Meb. We saw Meb walking through the halls, you know, there's Meb. Then we saw Des Linden. We saw her. We saw Sarah Hall go by with carrying, also talking, speaking out of a bowl. It looked like she had a bowl with we kind of had from Cava or something in her hands. We saw Edna Kiplagat go by at some point. We ran into Lauren Prochan, who is on our podcast, who is the director of race operations. And she is amazing. Like, I couldn't believe she recognized us and stopped to talk to us for a long time, which is amazing for somebody who is like in the middle of putting on the Boston Marathon. She could not have been nicer. It was so great to talk to her and see her in person and compare your heights, because as we were on our podcast, you guys were kind of guessing that you were about the same height based on how your pants fit, which I think is really funny, and how our Boston Marathon sweatshirts fit. And then you saw each other and realized that yes, in fact, you were the same height. And she's just so, I mean, just imagining what she does, and just, you've got to know that she's like the most like dynamic, on top of it, got her stuff together person. So it was so nice to meet her in person and get to give her a hug. Bill Rogers came by, and when Bill Rogers came by, we also met Cooper Tier, who was the male winner of the 5K that you ran, who could not have been a nicer young man. We call him, he's 24 years old, a recent college graduate. He ran in college at University of Oregon, and he was just so such a nice guy. We had such a nice conversation with him. We were both telling him that he should go home and tell his mother that she should be very proud of raising such a nice young man, because we both have sons who are not much younger than him. And I just couldn't imagine my son being that composed, when speaking to adults. So he was—
Lisa, your son— okay, wait a minute. Your son is that composed when speaking to adults. You know that—
just not me. Just not me.
Are different around their parents than with third parties.
I know.
But it was funny, because instead, I'm sure Cooper's like, what is happening? Because instead of us talking to him about his running, I mean, he's sponsored by Nike. He's an amazing athlete. He's a pro. We're like, you have the nicest manners, Cooper.
I know. That was funny.
He was great. He was great.
We got a picture with him, though, because we feel like he may one day win Boston Marathon. At least
for sure.
Really well, and we also ran into Jacqueline Hansen, who we had on our podcast last year, on the podcast at the live, the live stage last year, who was also on a panel this year. And we, we got to talk to her and see her before we were both at our panels the next day. So it was really fun to see her and catch up with her. It's like a reunion of old friends and fan viewing too, like all in the same thing, but we're all in the same community. So it's like, I always think that's really neat about running and about the Boston Marathon, that we are all on the same stage. The amateurs, the pros, everybody is there for the same event and experiencing the same event. We talked a little bit about this when we talked about Des and Kara's, recounting about their races. But it's such a neat feeling to be kind of with these icons of the sport, but they're just like us. they're runners too.
For
sure. That was really fun.
And then a non-runner we ran into was Allie Feller. And that was really nice, because we had a chance to thank her personally, because Allie has a very robust Facebook group, and a lot of folks are on that Facebook group have recommended us as coaches. And we just really appreciate that she has a community where it's allowed us to meet folks and coach folks through her podcast. And it was great to have the opportunity to thank her.
And then we had runners. We got to also spend time with our runners. Jen Barnes, who lives in Boston, hopped on the T to come down and meet us. And it's so nice, because we've coached her for a while, but we've never obviously met in person. So it was really nice to spend some time just getting to talk to her. Susan Spencer and Pat Oker came over. They had been, they had gotten together earlier, and I had said, well, maybe I'll stop by and say hi to you. But then I was texting and telling them, I'm never getting out of here, because we keep getting interrupted. We have not even made it through we were trying to prep with Cherie, and we just kept getting interrupted. So I told them I'm not making it over there. And they came over to us. So we got to see them. So it's like I said, it was just such a nice mix of getting to see our runners, getting to see people we've met there before, getting to see icons of the sport, getting to see, BAA staff that we've known through either, through our podcast or communicating with them and getting to see them there. So it was just like, it was fun, but we were getting no work done. It took us a really long time to finally get through our kind of prep for Sunday.
For sure. I love working with Sheree. She's the best. So I just want to say that she's just, I feel so lucky that we collaborate with her, and her podcast is incredible. Women's Running Stories. She works so hard to bring really amazing content, and it was just great collaborating with her. And then on our way back, we went back to the hotel to change for dinner, and we bumped into a listener named Elliot from New Mexico and his sister and friend. And that's always cool when someone, he recognized our voices, and that's really funny to us.
I'm glad you remember that. That was so nice. You ended up going out to dinner with your uncle, and I went, met Rachel Miller, our, wonderful friends and PT extraordinaire, who was in Boston for a conference of medical staff for races. So they did kind of a whole conference in conjunction with the Boston Marathon that culminated in those attendees being able to work in the medical tent. So she was there. She came up for that. And Lori Rice, has been on our podcast before, Rabbi Lori, who's also a good friend of ours. She was in our hotel too. So I went to dinner with Rachel and with Lori. We went to Warehouse Bar and Grill, which was just about a mile and a half from our hotel. It was awesome. I highly recommend. Really great menu. Again, they had bowls on the menu for dinner, so that was good. Could get some more green bowls. But they had a really varied menu. I think it was the manager who was helping. Our wait staff was amazing, but the manager who was there told us he's run the Boston Marathon several times. We got to share stories with him about his Boston Marathons. And again, everyone's just so excited to talk about the marathon and have the marathon in the city. And so highly recommend Warehouse Bar and Grill. It was a really great option. Not crowded. We did make reservations beforehand, but it was great service, great, really great food, and great ambiance. So highly recommend that for anyone who's, although don't take up my reservation for next year, because I want to go back.
Yeah. So then after dinner, we were exhausted. We went to sleep because we had a big day on Sunday. Sunday, it gets better each day. So yeah, Sunday was both our shakeout run and our panel. But before our shakeout run, we went for a nice leisurely run on the Charles together. This is really the only time of year we should run together more, but our schedules just don't sync up a lot. We don't live close enough where we cross paths easily. And we need to make a point to do that more, because it was really fun to run together and we really enjoyed ourselves. I think running along the Charles is very calming the day before the Boston Marathon. And it's super fun to see all of the elites, pros running their shakeout run. And I'm not exaggerating at all. They were running so slowly and they're running in a pack. I mean, you knew they were professional runners, but easily they were doing 9-10 minute miles. And we could tell because we were running opposite of them. So it wasn't like something where you're looking at them from afar and saying, oh, they look like they're running so slow. No, they were. And just want to point that out.
And then we would see them later with like pickups, and then you could tell they were doing like some faster time. But right, when we saw where they were doing drills, we saw some doing drills. Interestingly, see a lot running on the grass, which to me was interesting. They weren't running on the paved paths; they were running on the grass, which was neat. And on our way back, we saw it's always, again, you kind of always run into people in Boston that you see, and we saw my good friend from law school, who also runs Boston every year and runs as a fantastic runner, Dara, and her friend Rochelle. We ran into them, which was really fun. It's always fun for me to see Dara. Interestingly, our Duke Law reunion is always this weekend, is always the same weekend as Boston. And this year was our 25-year reunion. And so we both missed it. We were a little disappointed not to be there, but we had our own little reunion on Sunday morning during our little
show. For sure.
We did. It was great to see them. And they've both sent a lot of clients our way by talking to people. Like, they've had conversations on the bus before to Hopkinton, where they gave people our names. So we have a lot of our clients that came to us through Dara and Rochelle. So we thank them very much for spreading the word. And it was just really nice to see them.
Absolutely. And right before we saw them, we passed We passed Joan Samuelson. We just didn't realize it until, so she too was on the Charles running. Yeah, that was really eventful. That was really fun. And yeah, it was so nice to see Darren and Rochelle. And then we rushed back to our hotel and we then got our big Run Farther and Faster sign and all of our swag. We gave out beautiful hats this year, knit beanies, of course, because Murphy's Law, it was going to be a warm Boston. We got
but it was winter cool that hats. Morning. Shakedown Run morning was a little bit cool. Like it was like 40s when we went out. So the hats could be used for a little bit.
Yes. They were super cute. We really did give every single one away because that's how robust the attendance was at our Shakeout Run. Wow. We say this every year, but it is just so meaningful and special for us to be able to connect with runners that we coach that we don't see in person, as well as listeners, because we don't know who listens to our podcast. We talk to each other on our podcast, but when we meet people who say to us, we love your podcast, or we listen, or you've helped me achieve XYZ, it means the world to us. And we just thank all of you who showed up on Sunday morning. We truly worry every year, do you think people will come? Truthfully, Matt Wilper's Shakeout was the same time as ours. And we thought everyone was going to go to Matt Wilper's.
We wanted to go to Matt Wilper's.
We understand Matt was on our podcast. We love Matt. So the fact that people forgoed Matt and came to ours meant the world to us. And it was so much fun to connect with everyone and meet folks from all over the world. And here, I sound like an egomaniac. I'm trying not to stop. To hear how our podcast has impacted them. It's actually humbling.
People come and say I listened to you and you helped me get ready for my, you know, first Boston. So it was really nice. And we have had people like, you know, who email us, after listening to the podcast, and some of those came. So it's just nice that we communicate with people and we correspond with people. And then we actually get to meet them at our Shakeout Run. So we always leave that. And that to me is truly the high of the weekend. Like, I don't know.
For sure.
Everything's amazing, but that we always leave. And it is like that to me, it's that connection that we get to have. That is better than anything else the entire weekend. So that, thank you to all the people who came, because that really means a lot to us.
I wholeheartedly agree. It is so special. It brings me such joy, and it really sort of reminds us why we do what we do. Yeah, as coaches, as podcasters, it just meant the world to us. So yeah.
But then we went back to the hotel and I wanted to rest for a little bit because I needed to put my feet up, and you went out to something I wish I could have gone to, but I really, really wanted to. And especially because I knew my daughter Kira would love to see pictures of this, but why don't you talk about what you did while I kind of rested my legs up in the hotel room?
Yes. So I went back to the Boston Common, almost exactly where we had our Shakeout Run, an hour later, and met up with my cousin Anna, who is the owner of Pacey, a golden retriever, and my uncle David. And Pacey wore a bandana like the hundreds of other golden retrievers meeting up in Boston Common. The bandana said golden strong. It was a golden strong meetup of hundreds of golden retrievers. And it was the cutest thing. And then they walked, did this little route around the common, and it was in honor of Spencer and Penny, the two golden retrievers that had traditionally been along the race route, who have since passed. And it was just a way to honor them. So all of the golden strong golden retrievers were together playing, and there were a couple of news stations there. And my cousin said, oh, wouldn't it be funny if Pacey was on the news? So I walked over to one of the affiliates who was there, and I said, hey, do you want to interview Pacey and Pacey's owner? And they said, absolutely. So Pacey and Anna were interviewed for the evening news, just like you were, Lisa, about Golden Strong. It was such a highlight. So after that, then it was time for business, and we got our act together, and we arrived at the expo for our panel. And admittedly, we can say this now, every year we get really nervous about this, because for us, this is a big deal. The BAA has asked us to do something. We're highlighting three amazing winners, women who are professional runners and accomplished people. And we want to make sure that we honor them appropriately and elevate their platform and provide others information about these women that they may not know. And we want to make sure they feel comfortable. And of course, we're also collaborating with Cherie, who we respect so much. So it's just, you know, it's a big deal. So I think we knocked it out of the park. It was a great event. I'm really proud of what we put together.
Well, we had three amazing guests who were just, they were so engaged and they had really great answers to questions. We had a really great audience that had good questions for them. And it just was such a great, it really did. We always worry, we always get nervous, but then it just all comes together, especially when you have three really great guests like we did. And we will have that recording out in within the next few weeks. Once we get it from the BAA, we'll put that on our podcast so that people can listen. I think it's really worth listening to. It was a great interviews, great responses, and just again, a really, really great event.
For sure. And I also really enjoyed watching the three of them get to know each other. It was Bree Bamer, Elisa Harvey, and Kelly Bruno. And the three of them have never met each other. And you could see the mutual admiration that they all had for each other. It was so special. And we caught one conversation where Bree was saying to Elisa, you know, you're my hero. I've been fangirling over you for years. And then you could see Elisa and Bree's faces when we introduced Kelly and all of her accomplishments. And then you could see Kelly and Elisa's faces when we introduced Bree. It was so special. And again, to your point, everyone is just a runner. And at the end of the day, we all have stories to bring to this marathon. Yes, their stories they get from start to finish much faster than the rest of us, but their stories are so compelling outside of their running too. And we look forward to releasing that episode. And we also want to thank all of the folks who showed up for that as well. We recognize that so many were running a marathon the next day, and at 2 p.m., our friends showed up for us and were there to support us. And we are so, so appreciative. So thank you for that.
And then Lisa, and thank you to the BAA. Well, I want to say thank you to the BAA staff too, that really helped us facilitate this. So Katie Hawks, who we've had on our podcast before, Suzanne Walmsley is another, really important person at the BAA who's helped us make this happen. So it wouldn't happen without the folks from the BAA, and we appreciate them trusting us to do this and hopefully get to do it again next year. And every year we think like, well, who would we interview next year? Who would we have next year? We always come up with another great list of really fabulous, fascinating guests to have. So this year was no exception.
Yes, absolutely. And 100%, the BAA is so gracious in allowing us the opportunity to do this. And we love working with them for this live show, and the whole process is enjoyable because of Cherie as well, who is amazing to work with once again. So yes, 100%. And thank you to our guests who were running a race the next day and took time to do this with us.
Yeah,
as well.
I know. And Kelly said she had been on, I think, three panels over the weekend. I said, you must be exhausted. Like, go rest, girl. And we'll get to it later, but she did amazing. So whatever she did for prepping and being on three panels certainly didn't affect her performance, and she did really well. So spoiler alert. So we wrapped that up. I headed back to like kind of chill out at the hotel. You then eventually you spent some more time there watching some of the other presentations, which was really nice. And I would have liked to have done that, but I just needed to put my feet up. And then we reconvened and we ordered sushi with our friend Lori, and kind of what we typically do, sat in our room and ate it. And I had gotten my candy down, and which I didn't realize until you told me, because I just hadn't put two and two together, that our favorite candy store was essentially in the lobby of our hotel. So you're like, you know, that's right downstairs, right? And I'm like, ooh, I didn't realize like we were right there. So I did go down to Truffles, our favorite candy store, got stocked up on candy. We had our sushi dinner and candy, and got into bed early.
Yeah, there was one story I wanted to share really quickly, and that was after our panel when I stayed, I witnessed a really poignant moment, and that was the panel after ours featured Marilyn Bevins. Team Bevins was introduced right after us, which was also really special. One of the members of Team Bevins, of course, is Dr. Benita Stevens, who was on our podcast 2 weeks ago. It was such a treat to meet her. She is as dynamic as I thought she would be, and so thrilled to be part of Team Bevins, and the introduction of Team Bevins was so, so special. And then Marilyn Bevins herself was there for her panel a little bit later. And she was standing there and we were chit-chatting. And this woman walks up to Marilyn and said, "Are you Marilyn Bevins?" And she's a young woman with a Harvard sweatshirt. And Marilyn said, "I am." And she said, "I just finished my senior thesis about you." And I got so teary watching this, and Marilyn gave her the biggest hug and said how wonderful it is to see young people, educated young people, and how proud she was of her in her Marilyn way. And this gal was telling her all about her thesis, and it was just such a special moment. And we grabbed Adrian Benton over to who's part of the BAA to say, you got to see this. And it was just really, really special. So yeah, so it was a really neat moment to witness. And then, yeah, we had dinner.
All of this, after all of the 45 minutes we've been talking about, there was still a race for me to run. And this happens every year. And this, you know, we always would get to Sunday night and be like, oh crap, I have to run a marathon tomorrow, right? So I don't know, this year I felt really energized, and I personally was very excited about the weather this year. We all know that I am very weather dependent and do not like cold weather, and I do like warm weather. Most people, I think, were a little bit skeptical about the weather and nervous about it. I was so excited about the weather. So I was feeling good, but I was definitely feeling like full weekend, and I still have to run a marathon. So we got to bed early on Sunday night, and I woke up early on Monday morning. My buses were loading at 7:30. Lori and I met in the lobby at 6:45 to walk over, drop the bags. I will say, interestingly, again this year, and so there are two entrances to the bus loading. There is like at the top of the park and the bottom, it's just two ends. And this time we went kind of to the top of the park to go in, and they did stop us at the security checkpoint until they were going to let the white bibs in. So for anyone who, again, we've talked about this before about trying to get on an earlier bus, it doesn't happen. Like you really can't. So we got there at 7:05 or so, and they held us at the security point till 7:15, and then they let us through security. It's just quick. They really just quick check, make sure you just have your quart size bag, clear bag, and then we went up to where the lines were for the buses, and then they let us in there at 7:30. And I checked my watch. Lori and I were on a bus at 7:34. So again, for, you know, future purposes, note to my future self, note to anyone in the future who's running, they do keep pretty tight reins on, but it works like clockwork. There's a reason they do it. So they do keep pretty tight reins but it does pay to be there, because it's so crowded. It does pay to be there early, because then you can be waiting for when they say, okay, white bibs are now allowed in. You're at the front of that group. You get in the lines for the buses, you get on a bus. So we got on the bus at 7:34, and I know from past years, it usually takes about an hour, hour and 10 minutes to get to Hopkinton. And maybe about 50 minutes into the ride, I forget when it was, I noticed we got off of the highway, and we were in a group of like six buses. Like our bus was following like five other buses, but I looked behind me and realized when we first were on the highway, there's always this long caravan of buses, right? It's as far as you can see in front of you, as far as you can see behind you, buses. And as we're getting off this exit, I noticed there's like five buses in front of us, but there's nobody behind us anymore. And we pretty quickly, after maybe about a mile, do a U-turn and go back toward the highway. And I'm thinking, this is not right. Like a U-turn is not usually good, but we're still behind these like other five buses. And we get back on the highway going east. And if anyone knows Boston, you know, and I still don't know exactly where we were, which is probably, you know, it would have been helpful to, I didn't have my phone. I didn't have a map. We were going east, and Hopkinton is west of Boston. So I think we went past our exit, got off, did a U-turn, and came back to go east. It took us over an hour and a half. So by 9 o'clock, or a little after nine, we were about a half mile from the school. But clearly the buses had taken the wrong way. I've been on the buses before. You come up the front of the school and there's a circle that you go in, and the buses drop off right in front of Athletes Village. We were not there. We were nowhere near there. And we were stopped, and there were police officers stopping the buses because I think they didn't know what to do with the buses, how to get them to that point. We were definitely in the wrong place. So eventually, basically everybody got off the bus and walked that half mile to the Athletes Village. And our wave was going to be starting to be called at 9:45. And this is about 9:05, 9:15. And again, we had boarded the buses at 7:34. So we were getting a little bit of panic, but you know, we knew we'd be okay. So walked to Athletes Village. We ended up coming up the way that you leave for Athletes Village. So we're kind of like fish swimming upstream, because as we were coming up, the red wave was leaving. So we were trying to get in, the red wave's trying to leave. But we did make it to Athletes Village. I brought Lori to the spot that is kind of the porta potties that are less crowded. Which are sort of off the side. They're on the basketball, I think the paved basketball courts versus the grass area. And it was true, we had two people, I think, in front of us. So we quickly got to the porta potties, but I had just enough time that Lori and I then parted ways because we wanted to be able to get ready. I had just enough time to pop a squat somewhere, sit down, change my shoes, put on my Body Glide, put my gels in my shorts, and they were calling the wave. So no time in Athletes Village.
So rushed.
It was, you know, it was rushed, but it also was, It was perfect time. Like, really, I used the porta potty. I sat down, I put my stuff on. And as soon as I was like, okay, I think I have everything on, I heard them calling my babe. So it was a little rush, but really not. It was actually pretty perfect timing. So made my way down. Yeah, it's about, I don't know, it's probably a 3/4 of a mile walk from Athletes Village down to where the corrals are. And right before the corrals, we've talked about this on our podcast before, to the left, there's a bank of porta potties. Again, no line, like really easy to get in there. No lines. And it was just kind of fun. Met a lot of people there. After I used the porta potty, they were holding us before they were going to release us to the corral. So they kind of let you go into the porta potty area, but they hold you before they're going to let you go into the corral. So we were kind of all just milling around and talking to people, and met this woman who was spreading joy with glitter. She had glitter gel. It was for your body or for your hair. And she was just asking anybody, do you want some glitter? Do you want some glitter? And it turned out she was in my corral. So once they let us go to the corrals, we followed each other to the corrals. And her name is Lauren. I actually tracked her down after the race because I thought this was the highlight of the race for me. And it just was so emblematic of Boston and the runners in Boston, was that she was just spreading joy everywhere. She was so kind and so enthusiastic. And it was funny, when we were in the corral, another woman said to her, are you a teacher? Because she could just tell from her demeanor and her kind of joy and her happiness that she was a teacher. She said, are you a teacher? And she said, I am, actually. So Lauren, the teacher from Utah, who was just like so happy and giving glitter to everybody in the corral. It just was such a great, it was like just the best start to the race. It just told you this is going to be a great day. And it was warm as we were standing in the corrals. You could feel the sun coming out and you could feel it was going to be a warm day, but you could also feel the excitement. So that was really fun. Just the corral, just being in the corral beforehand and all the people in the corral who are all really feeling good and excited for the start, everyone getting glitter on. So it was really fun. And then before I was in the third corral, so before as the gun went off, we pretty quickly crossed the start line. So so we were off, and I didn't really have a real solid race plan. I kind of knew about where I wanted to be or about where I should be, but I really just, my goal was just go out and see what I settle into and see where that is. And my splits were super, super, super even for the first part. I settled into about a 7:20, and that's just what felt good to me. It felt pretty easy. I honestly couldn't even calculate in my head. Like what that, I was trying to calculate what's that pace, what's that finish time, but I just hung in there. And looking back at my splits, they were pretty steady through the first 16 miles. And it was great. It was my weather. Like, I felt joy. I felt so much joy in this race, and I felt so good. And when I went through Wellesley, this is one of my favorite parts, and I just saw the pictures from the race, and there are a bunch from here, and I'm going to order the pictures this year. I gave high fives to every single person in Wellesley. I just went down the row, and I usually don't. I usually get to the other side of the road. I just don't want to deal with the like craziness. I gave high fives the entire way down the whole scream tunnel, and it was just so much fun. And I felt really good, and I felt really steady, and got to the hills, took the hills. Like we've told our runners, take them with even effort. I did. I slowed down one of my miles, mile 21, the one that has Heartbreak Hill, I think was an 8:15. But once I got through that, I thought I'm ready to race. Like I felt good. And I remember thinking at about mile 14 or 15, like I'm just getting warmed up. Like I feel like I've had an easy run so far. So I knew that was a good sign. So got through the hills. Like I said, mile 21, I think was about an 8:15. So that's, from a 7:20, 7:25 to an 8:15 is pretty slow down. But then as soon as I got off those hills, I felt good. And I felt like, let's do this. And I got back down to about a 7:40, 7:45. So not quite back to where I was, but it was getting warm and I was getting fatigued. I was on top of my nutrition, took nutrition almost every 5K because I wanted to take it more frequently. Took my salt pills.
Every 5K for you is about every 22, 23 minutes.
Exactly. And I just started early at the first five. When we hit 5K, I was like, you know what? I feel good. I want to stay like ahead of my nutrition and I feel like I can take something now. So I did it 5K, 10K. And then I started making a little bit. Then it was like every 4 miles after that. And I stayed on top of it. I stayed on top of my electrolytes. Key thing that I did that I got a lot of comments about, I brought a soft collapsible water bottle with me. I ordered one of those like kind of, you know, the soft bottles and filled that up with water. I did not have to stop at a water station until mile seven. Mile seven's when I ditched it, but I had my own and I had people around me going, damn, that was a good idea. Like, I can't get into these water. You know, it was hard to get the water from the water stations and the first water, few water stations. And they were like, you were smart. That was smart. So I really would do that again. It was easy to carry because it was soft and squishy. And it lasted me for, like I said, 7 miles. And then I ditched it and I started taking from the water stations, but I stayed on top of all that. And last five miles, I felt great. Like, I just felt good. And I finished feeling great. And I would say that this was probably, in my recent memory, the most joyful race I had and the one that I felt the best. Finished in 3:19. So I kind of had an idea between 3:15, 3:20. I thought 3:20 I'd be happy with. So 3:19 was great. Just felt so good. And that was my race.
Yeah, so first of all, congratulations. Super, super proud of you. And it was really exciting for me to be able to spectate and see you at mile 24.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That was really awesome.
That was huge.
I could see you were having an amazing race. And I was so proud of you because I know this is your weather, but it's still hot. It was hot out there. By the time you finished, it was about 70 degrees. I don't know what the real feel was, but certainly it wasn't easy. It wasn't 2012, but it wasn't easy. And so I think it's a testament to how smart you were with your nutrition and your pacing. You didn't go out there with a pace goal. You went out there with an effort goal and you listened to your body and you know the course and you knew not to panic when you slowed down at mile 21. You know that. And then you got going again. And when I saw you at mile 24, you looked so great and joyful and it was just so great. So I am super proud of you, Lisa. Huge congratulations to you on a stellar race. And it was really fun to watch. Last year, we missed you. So I was really, really hell-bent on seeing you. And it was great. And I will say, I was at mile 24 with Cherie. And I really saw a lot of our runners. It was really a treat for me. And as well as I saw a lot of the pros and a lot of the pros we had on our podcast. And that was really special to be able to see these folks up close at mile 24. Mile 24 is right after the mile marker. There's a downhill and it's pretty steep. And you can tell right away who's having a good day. Because if you're taking advantage of that downhill, that means your quads haven't locked up. And you're able to run fast. And it was really, really cool to see up close Sarah Hall, Des Linden, and Kiplagat. It was Helen O'Berry. I saw them all. It was Emma Bates. I saw Emma Bates in front. It was just incredible. So that was really, really neat. And
it was amazing to see. That was a highlight. I was rushing through to try to get through like the race, but that was, and I saw you very easily because you drew a bright pink run farther and faster sweatshirt on. You had our sign. I knew approximately where you're going to be, but I didn't know exactly. And I couldn't tell, but I saw you right away. And that just like gave me that little last boost. Those last 2 miles, I looked down at my watch. I'm like, woo, I picked it up a little bit because it was so great to see you. And I know it's not easy being a spectator because it's exhausting and you have to walk a lot and it's hard to get around in Boston. There are, you know, for the marathon day, a lot of checkpoints and hard to get from one side of the street to the next. I know it's really hard for you to get back to Fire and Ice. So I always think spectating is you know, exhausting as well. So I appreciated that. And it was, like I said, such a lift to see you that last 2 miles.
It was awesome to see you. And it was also, we could do a whole other episode on this, but I just want to say our runners did phenomenally. The weather sucked for running. It was a little bit better for those who were able to start earlier. So if you were able to start at, you know, 10:25, 10 o'clock, great. But if you were starting at 10:50 and after that, it was sunny and real feel at least 70. And we recognize that your start time was key. And those who started later absolutely had more difficult conditions than those who started earlier. But that being said, I'm so proud to share that all of our runners finished strong. Nobody ended up in a medical tent. If they did, we would be worried, but we would understand because it was a tough conditions, but all of our runners finished strong. Many of our runners had time goals. Some of them were able to achieve their time goals. Most were not because it was hot, but they still had really strong races because they were prepared and they adjusted due to weather. And some of our runners had disappointing races. That's not because they weren't prepared. It's biology. Some folks are able to run in heat better than others. And for those who are listening that had a tough race, you're in good company. It's not that you weren't prepared. It's not that you didn't have the right tools. It's just that some folks respond differently to these conditions than others. And you can do everything you can to optimize your training by doing what Lisa mentioned, electrolytes, nutrition, hydration, pacing. But at the end of the day, sometimes the weather can really deplete you. So we are just so proud of all of our runners because they did what they could on the day. They ended up finishing strong. And every single one of our runners, there were 17 runners this year for Run Farther and Faster. We are so proud of each and every one. In our next episode, I'd like to highlight some of their accomplishments because we're running out of time. We have some really poignant stories and we'd really like to share those here. So we're going to save that for our next episode. We wanted to just kind of focus on our own experiences this episode. We also want to give a shout out to Montgomery County Roadrunners runners. It was always fun. So much fun to connect with all of them at Fire and Ice, our old watering hole where we used to go to for years. And we're back there again. And it was just so fun to enjoy each other and celebrate all of your accomplishments. And for anyone, it's Wednesday now. And for anyone who's now doing a Monday or Wednesday morning quarterback of your Monday race, please, please, by all means, celebrate your accomplishment. You freaking ran the Boston Marathon, and that is amazing. And you were like a 0.01% of the population to accomplish that. So congratulations to all who ran on Monday. And we will continue our conversation in our next episode. But Lisa, most of all, congratulations to you. I'm so proud of you. And I'm so thrilled that we got to share yet another epic Boston Marathon weekend together.
Thanks, Julie. Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Run Farther and Faster Boston Marathon podcast. We want to give a special thanks to our editor, Aaron Bryant. And if you enjoyed this episode and enjoy listening to our podcast, please share it with others and please leave a review if you haven't done so already on iTunes. Thanks for listening and have a great week.